And as promised, we got Tokyo Rosenthal in the studio, one of my favorite local musicians, who has a new album out and a new book and a signing coming up at Flyleaf Books in the next 25 hours, I guess I should say, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Tokyo, thanks for being here in the studio. How are you?
Oh, great. It's so good to be back
on CHL.
I
haven't seen you in forever. Yeah.
I haven't been on CHL in a long time.
Yeah.
It's nice to be in the new digs, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is it's still got that new studio smell, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. Tell us about the new album. It's called This Minstrel Life.
This Minstrel Life. It's got a lot of politics on it.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of family. It's got a lot of next door neighbor.
Yep. So it's a Tokyo Rosenthal album.
Yeah. Typical. Yeah. Very eclectic. It's the title, This Minstrel Life, comes from, it's sort of a statement on the music business these days. It's a very difficult business.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't buying a lot of CDs. There aren't any CD stores to buy them in.
Right.
And so
it makes it difficult for me because that's the format that I still get them on. So.
Yeah. And so for me, it's kind of like we've all become minstrels.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called, and we go from, in the old days, in the 1800s, we went from town to town on your horse, and you would go to the venue, and they'd give you a free meal, and maybe a bed for the night, and you'd pass the basket and get some tips.
Right.
And then you'd probably lose it all playing, gambling in the casino.
Or win twice as much, you never know.
Spending it on a woman or whatever you wound up doing. And then the next day you get on your horse again and you go to the next town and you write songs as you go. And it sounds a lot more romantic than it really was. Now today, we're doing the same thing, except we're going by car.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still going from venue to venue, and a lot of the venues feed you. And some of them, if it's an inn or something, like when I go over to, when I tour in Ireland or Scotland, they put you up, and you stay at people's homes, and you do whatever you can do to not have to pay for a hotel.
Right, of course.
And so we've kind of become minstrels. We're very much like painters in France, like on the Seine River. You sit there and you try to hawk your wares that way. And
it's probably another life that's more romantic sounding than it really is.
Yeah. So that's where the title, This Minstrel Life, we're on radio here, but if you Google This Minstrel Life and you see the cover of the album is my guitar case.
Yes.
And it's got all the stickers, which is I keep in constant repair for every place that I go to. And on the flip side, my wife, hi, Carrie, was kind enough to take a picture of me falling out in the airport, totally asleep,
nice.
Leaning on my hand, you know. That's kind of like the what it's about. It's an interesting record, though. Oh, and the other thing I did on this album, though, that I'd never done before, was this four live tracks.
Nice.
And
Recorded where?
Well, in four different places with four different musicians that I tour with or who have had the pleasure of playing with. One of them was actually from, the only local one was from Pittsburgh.
All right.
It was a track from when I was doing the Tokyo Rosenthal program right here on WCHL.
Love that show.
And it was with the Sap Boilers doing Mama Tried, the old Merle
Haggard
song.
Yeah.
And then over in at South by Southwest with Charlie Chamberlain doing one of my tracks, There's No Perfect Love. Then over in England, doing Love One Out, the pro gay marriage
song.
Tune.
Yep.
And there's a fourth song in there, which I know. Little Poetry Girl, which we did on in Knoxville on WDVX with Mangus, Daniele Cagnato playing guitar with me, a song I wrote about my daughter, the poet.
That's really
so
cool.
Yeah.
So you're putting together an album. You got sort of the overarching theme of it is the minstrel life. Do you write the songs based on the inspiration for the album? Do you compile the songs together, and then how does it work?
The only thing I knew that I was going to do on the record was that I was going to have those four live tracks. And then I started to think, well, that kind of like cements the minstrel thing.
There's your
theme.
Here
I am traveling from place to place. And then I wrote a song, which is the title track of the album, called This Minstrel Life, which is about I read this article on this couple that used to tour together in the 1800s on horseback, and then the woman died, and the man found himself, well, what do I do? And he still continued on, you know, he was depressed and bummed out, and now he's a solo act. But he was, you know, he still, you know, bit the bullet and continued the tour. So that came along. And then other stuff just happens, you know, the politics with me, I won't get into it right now, but there's a couple of political messages on there, and I'll let you at home figure that out for yourself.
And we got Love One Out, the live track as well.
Yeah, we got the pro-gay marriage, we got the immigrant. And then the one of my favorite tracks on the record, but the oddest one maybe, is my next door neighbor is a runner, like a real fanatic runner, and he runs in these ultra marathons, 100 miles. And I remember the first time he went off to do it, and we were sitting there going like, gee, I hope he comes home, you know, and he's done four of them. So I wrote this song called 100 Mile Man. And now it's sort of become the theme song at these ultra marathon things. They play them at the finish line before they start. My record's playing, and it's like an inspiration
song.
Oh,
that's awesome. Have you been there to one of those now to hear it playing? Or
no.
I think you can stand on the side and not run in the race.
But they
do
them
that.
In some very odd places, like in mountains up in Colorado.
Yeah.
It wasn't some place like, oh, gee, he's doing it in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there's the one that starts in Raleigh or something like that.
It's not like that. You know, and I see him run every morning. You know, he comes running in. He gets up at 5 in the morning and he comes running back. So that pretty much is how the album came together. And, you know, we just named it This Minstrel Life.
I love it. And we were talking with Tokyo Rosenthal. This Minstrel Life is the album. We got the title track to play here right now. So set this up for us. You already kind of set up the song. What are we going to hear?
Oh, well, you're going to hear, first of all, some incredible dobro playing by Alan Love on it. And it's the story that I was just talking about. It's this couple, Queenie and King Wilson. And they are this couple that just travels on horseback, and everybody knows them. And the story is pretty clear. It'll tell the tale.
It's a great song. Tokyo Rosenthal, This Minstrel Life. Here we go.
Bye. special kind. Now I just hang around to heal, living this minstrel life. More than a trick, play as you go. My only way to survive this minstrel life from show to show.
That is This Minstrel Life off of This Minstrel Life, new album by Tokyo Rosenthal, who is here in the studio right now. That's a great song. That's a really great song.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And we were talking during the song, the story you were telling about reviewers.
Well, yeah,
listening
I mentioned
to the
that,
song
you
know, and, yeah.
Been traveling this route since 83. You know, and a lot of the reviewers thought it was 1983, but I'm talking about
I thought 18. It was 1983 when I heard the song. And no. I got the line later about meeting Wyatt Earp. I'm like, it must be some different Wyatt Earp.
Yeah,
but no, it's the same one.
Yeah, 1883, and he knows everybody, so the highwaymen, the robbers, don't give him a hard time when he's out on the road.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. So that's the album. It's just that we got another song off the album coming up in just a little while. What number album is this?
Seven. Can you believe that?
Oh my God. Sad, when did you start? When was the first one?
Well, it's been seven albums in 12 years.
Okay.
And when I started the quote unquote musical renaissance, my comeback, I had a song called Edmonton that broke on radio up in Canada. And next thing I knew, I dropped everything and went into the music business full time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, catch it up. I put out a lot of music. Now that the seventh album is out, I'm kind of like taking a breather, and which is why I'm writing books.
Nice. So yeah, let's talk about the book. This is your the book is called Our Last Seder. It's right. Just out, and this is your second one. So talk about your first one first.
Well the first one was I had been a photographer at Yankee Stadium, 8 seasons.
Nice.
Under devious means of getting in there.
It's Yankee Stadium. It's always devious means of getting in there.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a picture book, basically. But okay. I wrote an introduction about how I got the phony press pass and almost getting caught and all these things and all my adventures over those 8 years. And I love the process of writing a memoir. You're not writing dialogue. You're just kind of like writing this. And so I said, I like doing this. And all I have to do is write the words. I don't have to write the music. Mm-hmm. So it's easier. And I had been in, and it went over well. Mm-hmm. It was, the book was called A Photographer's, F-A-U-X,
Photographer.
A Photographer's Yankee Stadium Memoir, for those of you who don't have a copy. You can find one.
At a certain point, though, once the book gets published with the pictures in it, now you're an official photographer.
I'm a real photographer. Yeah. I'm a real writer.
That press pass is real now.
Now it is.
Yeah.
So, I kind of fell in love with the process, and I'm very disciplined like that. Whether it's putting out a new album or writing a book, where I'll just go up and I'll say, okay, I'm going to spend 2 months writing and write every day, eat breakfast, go upstairs, write. So when it came time, I didn't know what was going to happen when I was writing Our Last Seder, but I thought, okay, I'm gonna give this a shot. And I was inspired. It's a memoir, I might point out, from when I was 10 years old. Family tragedy happened when I was a kid. I don't know, like a lot of families, but like my family, nobody talked about it afterwards. You were sent, there was no PTSD. You were sent back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents went back to work. And 40 plus years later, you write a book about it.
Wow.
And then hope that a movie gets made.
Right.
And I had been inspired to write it by, there was a book that some of you may have seen and or a movie called Unstrung Heroes, written by a friend of mine that I grew up with named Franz Litz, whose mother was taken ill when he was 10. And he wrote this memoir about what happened in the family, how the whole family dynamic had changed. And when I read that, I said, gee, you know, there's an analogy here. You know, we had different tragedies going on in our lives at that age, but we were both kids trying to cope with it. And I made a mental note that, because this was 15 years ago that I discovered his book
okay.
and his movie. And when I finally had the time and wanted to scratch something off my bucket list, I put aside the time, I wrote the book. And then, miracles of all miracles, I got a publisher.
Nice.
Which doesn't normally happen. And hence I've been on, they've been really good at marketing it. I think I've visited every Barnes & Noble on the, on the Eastern Seaboard at this point, signing them and talking to people, and it's been a lot of fun.
What's been the reaction?
The reaction is, you know, that's a subjective thing, but it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews, the book came out, I think it was officially published October 4th, so mm-hmm. it's just, the reviews are just starting to catch up now, and the reviews have been nice. But your real, the real feedback is from touring and meeting the people that have read the book. People putting notes, you know, on Facebook. It's a very interesting thing. It's out. The book, in reaction, has outsold my albums 10-1.
Nice.
So I can't tell you why that is, but I'll take it.
You can't predict these things.
No,
yeah.
And you know, people writing and getting and people that I haven't heard from in years,
oh,
you know,
wow.
finding it. I like social media,
mm-hmm.
and I really like, you know, Facebook has its bad sides, but I, for the most part, I like Facebook a lot, and you know, so I it's that immediate gratification. Somebody reads the book and then they find the Facebook page for Our Last Seder and they write me a little note, and that's my applause.
That's,
you know?
Really cool. Are people making that personal connection that you made with Unstrung Heroes?
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right. So the book's out. Signing is at Flyleaf on February 7th. So that's tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. A little bit different from Barnes & Noble. So
this is going to be I have two versions of my little talk that I do when they send me out to talk. I have the one for the people that have read the book already and one for the people that haven't, but I want to get them to buy it.
Yep.
This one's going to be, from what I could tell, be a more of a mixed audience. So I may dance around the actual, what everybody wants to know, well, what was the tragedy? And I'm like, well, if you're going to buy the book, then it's better not to know.
Not to know, yeah.
Not that it's the biggest mystery. It's not a mystery novel by any stretch, but I, you know, we'll do that. But I'll dance around it a little bit, but we'll get also the conversations that have come up on one-on-ones that people who buy the book at Barnes & Noble and they read just the little notes on the back of the book and they know it's about a tragedy and it's mm-hmm. about a kid, and they start talking to me about similar things that have happened to them or are happening to their kids, or psychiatrists and psychologists say, oh, I got to buy that because I'm in a group session that would really appreciate this and all that. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the two-way conversations at Flyleaf.
Do you ever play at all during the book talks? Is it separate? Because I know we got a song coming up that's on the album.
And I'll explain that.
Connected to the book.
How that happened.
Yeah.
But we talked about that, and I preferred not to.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was mixing apples and oranges.
Right.
And I don't want people, I mean, at my gigs, I did a house concert about a month ago, and I thought, well, I'm going to put the book out.
Yeah.
And see, and then everybody, they sold out.
That's
the
great.
Books that I had with me.
I guess that does make sense, because you're not doing a concert, and then you stop and read a chapter out of the book out loud on stage, so doing it the other way around makes sense, too.
And so I just like to keep the two things separate.
Yeah.
It was sort of like when I started playing music, my background leading into this last 12 years of playing music full time was in boxing, and I didn't I didn't mix that. I when people wrote bios or asked me questions, I never talked about that part. I just wanted to be, let the music stand on its own. Now I want the book to stand on its own. I don't want it to be like, oh, Tokyo's, you know, this Americana touring recording artist, and now he happened to write a book. I'd rather just be Tokyo the author.
Of course, now we've got Tokyo the author here in the studio. Now we're going to say that and immediately go back to the album and the song, which is The Last Seder, taken off the album. So
yeah,
what's the...
Now the book, of course, is Our Last Seder, O-U-R.
Right.
The song on the album is The Last Seder.
Yeah.
Because the book was originally titled The Last Seder. And I got a call from my mother one day who lives in Chapel Hill now, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
First time we've lived in driving distance of each other since 1984.
It makes it convenient, right?
Yeah. And mom calls me up, and she's the consummate fan. And for some reason she was Googling the title, and I'm like, and I'm like wondering why the book's not out, the album's not out, but she just does these things. She thinks like maybe somebody's holding out on her.
Mm.
So she calls me up and she says, "You got to get home right away. Somebody wrote a book called The Last Seder." And I'm like, "You sure about how do you know this, Mom? I was on Google." Okay. So, yeah, for sure enough, somebody did write a book called The Last Seder. And you can't copyright a title. You can continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife and I got together, and she came up with this, what I think is a better title, Our Last Seder, because when you, after you read the book, you'll understand why it's a better title.
Mm-hmm.
And we went with that, but I thought, almost as a trivia question, you know, 100 years from now, if anybody uncovers this interview and the CD, I thought, well, it might be interesting to keep The Last Seder as the title for the song,
yeah,
which is based on the book.
Okay.
And hence, that's why it's The Last Seder on the album, but it's elsewhere.
All right. The song is The Last Seder. It's off of This Minstrel Life. Set up the song for us, other than to say that it's connected.
Yeah, the song has a lot to do with the tragedy,
mm-hmm,
which has a lot to do with death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give you that much. And other than that, listen closely to the lyrics and come to Flyleaf and ask me questions tomorrow night about it.
The Last Seder, Tokyo Rosenthal. Here we go.
Graves on the island, so small and yet they grabbed me close, they needed some love, they wanted
Last Seder, Tokyo Rosenthal. The album is This Minstrel Life. The book is Our Last Seder. It's also out. Flyleaf Books reading tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. That's another great song off of that album. Thank you. That was terrific. The artist you were playing with, you were telling me about.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that flute, which is sort of a handmade Mexican Andean wooden flute, Juanito Laguna. Juanito is living in Chapel Hill. He's from Mexico City because his wife is going to UNC. He's been here for 3 years. I discovered him on the Tokyo Rosenthal show when we were doing it over. He played with, I forget the name of the band that he was with, but it'll come to me. And he was, I just thought he was fantastic, and he's played on my last two albums with me. Just various things, Mexican instruments, very, very talented and creative guy.
I want to keep talking to you forever, but we got to wrap up. Where can people go to get more information about the book, the reading, the album, everything else?
All right. Of course, like anything these days, if you just Google Our Last Seder,
yes,
S-E-D-E-R, you'll find the book. You'll find it on Amazon. You'll find it at Barnes & Noble, in the store, especially the one here in Durham. Or anybody will order it for you. Kindle, Nook, Facebook. It's got Our Last Seder page on that. And I encourage you to check it out. My wife says it's a page turner, and I don't argue with her.
You got a website?
TokyoRosenthal.com.
Go there and find out more.
I got to tell you where to buy the album.
Best
to go to TokyoRosenthal.com for the CD, and that'll tell you all the places you can get that to.
You got the reading coming up at Flyleaf tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. You got any shows coming up?
But nothing in Chapel Hill.
Okay.
So I'm hitting the road.
Nice.
So,
what do you like playing best? You mentioned going to the British Isles. But
Like they say on Cheers, you like to go where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I'm more popular in England and Scotland and Ireland. So I like to go over there. But I'm doing a Midwest tour in April, 10-day tour, Ohio and Tennessee and Virginia. So I enjoy those places. I at this point in my life, I'm not discovering new venues. I'm going back to the ones where they know me. Locally, I'll play the Kraken. I enjoy that. It's one of my favorite haunts. And then the Roost opens up in Farrington Village. It's an outdoor beer garden. I enjoy that too. It's nice. Walking distance from my mother's house.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
There you go. TokyoRosenthal.com for more information on the album. Google Our Last Seder for more information on the book. Or head to Flyleaf tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, for the reading and the book signing. Tokyo Rosenthal, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
No, thanks for having me.